So everybody else, if you have your Bibles, you open up to Luke chapter 24, or if you have the Bible app, you can open it up to Luke chapter 24. Today we are beginning a series called Hope Rising. And so, okay, so we'll just, because I've had so many of you ask me, I'll just go ahead and tell you. So like, very excited. Yes, this is my first Sunday as campus pastor. I'm very, very excited. Thank you. I was creepily watching the Dryden campus online for a little bit. I was like, okay, they got streamed because I helped with some of that stuff. And so I was like, okay, it is working. Okay, good. All right, check that box off. But I'm so excited. I told my wife, I said, well, I'll try my best not to throw up. So, you know, but I won't do it during this time, maybe after. But seriously though, so very excited. And just, I thought, what a great way to start, Hope Rising. Because, you know, there is so much hope within Easter and what it is we celebrate. And so we're the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about hope. We're going to talk about new possibilities in hope. We're going to talk about hope for today, hope for tomorrow, hope for healing. So just letting you know, this is kind of as we're launching into this new season, we're going to start with Hope Rising. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about new possibilities. So how many of you remember your first crush? Now, see, I'm curious if I had to make sure I'd actually told my wife this story before I did this, because I was like, if I ever told you about, and she's like, yeah, you've told me. I said, okay. So my kids may be like, what is this one, Dad? So my first crush I remembered was summer camp, kids camp, right after sixth grade. So this is 1986 in July. I am in Alaska at a kids camp. I'm a suave, debonair 12-year-old. You all know how that looks. And so this was a big deal. And the first day of camp, I saw her. And in that moment, I was like, something awoke in my heart. And I was like, oh my goodness, the possibilities. This is love. And I found out her name. Her name was Jennifer. Now, I had never, to my memory, recall having met anyone named Jennifer before. So I just thought this, like, she's got an amazing name. She's just gorgeous. This is incredible. I mean, so like, in my head, everything was like, this. She's my future. All of junior high is taken care of. This is love, and maybe on into high school, my future is set. It's Jennifer. And so for the first 36 hours of camp, up until Tuesday evening, I mean, so like in our camp, we would do, the boys would all sit on one side and the girls would sit on another. So my friends and I were back towards the middle back, being the good student church kids that we were, and we'd sit back there, and she sat more to the front. And so, you know, during the service and stuff, I'm like looking at the back of her head, certain that she can feel all the love and adoration that I am directing towards her, because she's got to know. She has to know what I'm feeling. And so it's not creepy when you're 12. And so just staring at the back of her head, and I had hatched this plan. And so I talked to my good friend, Matt. I was like, Matt, you got to help me out. I said, Matt, I need you to talk to your girlfriend. I need you to tell your girlfriend that how I'm feeling about Jennifer, how amazing I think she is. So I need you to go tell your girlfriend and have your girlfriend tell Jennifer how I feel about her. And so this was going to be beautiful. And so that was the end of the second night. I set this all up. So breakfast Wednesday morning, go to breakfast, and I can't find Matt anywhere. And I'm like looking all over for him. And I see him, and we're on a hill outside the cafeteria, and I go find him. And I was like, Matt, what happened? And he's like, so she talked to Jennifer. I'm like, yeah, and so I heard those words that to this day I've just, you know, her statement was, and I quote, Dwayne, that dork. She didn't realize back then just how adorable dork is. I mean, like, but. You know, but I was fortunately, I know, as sad and pathetic as that story is, you know, the possibilities, fortunately, my whole possibilities and hopes for love did not end on that sad summer, but, you know, there was greater possibilities. But one of the things, and we're going to talk about this morning, is that because of the resurrection, life is filled with new possibilities. So in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24 is the last chapter of Luke. And Luke is part of a two-volume work written by a guy named Luke. And it's Luke and Acts. And what it is it's the story of what Jesus did with and through his followers throughout Luke, all the way up to the resurrection, and then on into Acts is what he continued to do through his followers and into the church as it spread and the people began to spread throughout. And so at the end of Luke, we get the crucifixion in chapter 23, and then chapter 24 begins the next day, or begins Sunday morning. And so we read in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12, says this, "On the first day of the week, Sunday morning, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw strips of linen lying by themselves and went away wondering to himself what had happened." This is such an interesting account. Now, one of the things we know as we read Scripture is that, you know, the Bible offers us insights into how to follow Jesus, how to live for Jesus, how to deal with all the stuff in this life, even death. You know, how do we wrestle with all these things? And so there's what's really interesting in this passage is there's kind of these two narratives going on, one right after the other, that parallel each other. And so I want to look at them as we talk about looking at new possibilities, and that the resurrection of life, because of the resurrection, life is filled with new possibilities. So the first one is that new possibilities arise on familiar paths. And so you think about this, you know, you're going along in life and you're on your path. Now the women in this narrative, Sunday morning, they brought spices. Now if you did not know back then, what they would do when a person died is they would have spices and things to bury, prepare the body for burial. And because the fact that Jesus had died the day before the Sabbath when no work was to be done and he was buried quickly, they had not been able to do all the stuff that they do when somebody dies. And so they'd prepared the stuff. You read about this in chapter 23. They prepared all the stuff. But then in chapter 24, you read Sunday morning, they went to go finish this. Because on our familiar paths, we do what, even in the midst, in fact, more so in the midst of chaos, in the midst of things going wrong and bad, we go on autopilot, right? This is what I got to do. Everything's falling apart. I just know I need to get up. I need to eat breakfast. I need to do this. I need to do A. I need to do B. I need to do C. I've got to do these things. And so that's what they were doing. In this narrative, you know, you read that they were, you know, they're going about their business. They're doing what they prepared to do on Friday. They're going to take this stuff to prepare the body because this is what you do. This is the path. This is where I'm supposed to go. It's the new possibilities that arise on these familiar paths, because when we do A and B, we expect C. We don't expect some random Q to jump into the letters and say, no, 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 that's not supposed to be here. But that's what happened to them. As they were doing A and B, all of a sudden, there's something new here. The body's not there. That's not supposed to happen. What do we do? And then there's these guys. What do we do? And so we'll come back to that, but what happens next is then these women, they run and they tell the others. Now, Luke describes them as the others. He said the apostles are there and the others. It could be a bunch. We know 50 days later, we read in the book of Acts, 50 days later, there were 120 of them gathered together. So any number of people. And once again, they're on a familiar path. They have all experienced loss before. Some of them, this is a greater loss, I'm sure, because this person they'd been following for the last 3.5 years had died a criminal's death. Being in Palestine during that time period of Roman occupation, they were all familiar with death and criminal deaths. It had touched all their lives, I'm sure. It's a pretty easy guess that it had touched all their lives at multiple points. But so they are doing what they do. They're grieving. Some of them maybe feeling like they should hide. They're not sure what's going on. Grieving, probably some denial because it's just been a couple days and you got all this. But they are on the familiar path. This is what you do. You just exist and you march forward on the familiar path. And then, you know, we do A, we do B. C is supposed to happen. But suddenly there's this cue that keeps jumping up. These women show up and start saying things. And it messes with you, that unexpected thing. And you have to decide what to do with it. Because we know new possibilities, they arise on familiar paths. And stepping into new possibilities might require some wrestling. Now, I don't know about any of you. How many of you like to wrestle? My daughters like to wrestle with me. And they're not as easy as, you know, I expected having little girls wrestling. They're kind of vicious and they cheat, which is okay because I cheat. And so they have found I will do whatever it takes to make sure I never lose. And so, you know, but the wrestling is an interesting thing because it's you expect things to go a certain way and it doesn't, and there's this closeness and this tension. And you have to decide in the moment, okay, I could easily beat my daughter, but I just might break her arm while I'm doing it, so I probably shouldn't do that. So, you know, I could land on her. That'd probably hurt her too and me. You know, so there's all these decisions that have to be made when wrestling with things, even on familiar paths. And so when you're stepping into new possibilities, it requires some wrestling. So these women, they are going about A, B, and C. They're going to the tomb. They're got the spices. They're all got it all ready to go. They're ready to do their thing. And suddenly, these men show up in bright, gleaming clothes that gleamed like lightning. And they're like, and it's really fascinating because the tone that these guys are using with her, with these women, is very almost parental reprimanding. Because they say here, they said, you know, what are you doing? Why are you here? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Like, what's going on? You shouldn't be here. And they even tell them, don't you remember? This is a parent thing, you know, right? Don't you remember when I told you to do this? Don't you recall this? And how many of you, your kids, are like, no. Yes, you do. No, I don't. You know, but that's what they're doing here. They're like, hey, don't you remember when he said to you that he would hand himself over and he would be crucified and dead, buried and raised again? Don't you remember that? And so in that moment, they had to do something. They had to remember. And I think that this remembering piece is such an essential part of this. It's an essential part for them in following Jesus because they were able to take a moment, reflect back on what he'd said, recognize the truth of what he'd said, and step into a new path. That remembering helped them in their belief. Later, when Jesus is not around, we know that remembering helped continue to push them forward. As they had, you know, there were letters written to the church, and as the church has moved forward for the last 2,000 years, it is in those remembering pieces that we remember what Jesus said, who he is, what he's done in our lives. Remembering is such an essential part to what we do. That's why we do communion all the time. We're remembering what Jesus did. That's part of what we do here on Sunday mornings. We dive into the Bible, remembering what God said and what he's given us. It's when we talk about it, it's a huge part of the journey. Because when life gets foggy and the path gets murky, it's in the remembering that provides us with some anchoring and some ability to go forward. And so they remembered what Jesus said, and it allowed them to convert that into belief. And they took that belief, and in their excitement, what did they do? They went to tell the others. They're like, hey, guess what happened? And what's interesting is, what did the others do? They didn't believe them. In fact, there's this really cool word. It's leros. It's the Greek word leros. And so we have in our translation, it says nonsense. The word is really, it's like foolish, idle talk, outlandish story, twaddle. That's a great word. Prattle or gossip. Basically, they straight up thought they were going crazy or just making stuff up. They're like, yeah, no, no, and no. Which I find really interesting, because who were the people the women were talking to? The apostles, the pillars of the church, the ones who we have, Peter, John, all of them. They didn't believe. They didn't remember. They're like, no, no, this is nonsense. What you're saying is nonsense. I mean, fortunately, Peter, he at least got up and went to go check things out. And if you read one of the other Gospels, it said that John went with him. But Luke tells us Peter just left wandering, like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. The remembering is such an essential piece. Stepping into new possibilities requires wrestling. Sometimes we have this choice, and we're like, okay, I need to spend some time deciding, what am I going to do here? The new possibilities, they arise on familiar paths. The new possibilities require some wrestling, because the resurrection is an invitation to follow Jesus into new possibilities. Let me say that again. The resurrection is an invitation to follow Jesus into new possibilities. So we talk about the resurrection and Jesus' power of life over death. He defeated death. And which, as Levita said, you know, that's an incredible thing. But the thing that for us here and now today, I think the thing about this that is so incredible is, like, yes, that's incredible, but that's the last enemy defeated, because what it was that Jesus offers through the resurrection is a path to new life here, today, now. Because I'll tell you, our lives are full of hopeless situations. Our world is full of impossibilities. This can't happen. Broken relationships, broken homes, broken hopes, broken dreams. People all around us, we know them. Some in here are dealing with anxiety, depression, don't know what to do, just taking one step after another. And the call of Jesus, the path of Jesus, the possibilities he's offering is like, hey, I'm offering you hope in a hopeless situation. I'm offering you life in a situation that seems like there's nothing but death. In relationships that seem like there's no healing this relationship, guess what? There is. You think this is the end? It doesn't have to be. He is offering hope. He is offering life. The resurrection is a call. It's an invitation to follow Jesus into new possibilities. This is what the church is, like, so excited about. This is what we celebrate. What we're like, hey, you got to hear. Have you heard about the new possibilities? Have you heard what Jesus is offering? Our new possibilities, they arise on familiar paths. Stepping into new possibilities requires some wrestling. And the resurrection, it is an invitation to follow Jesus into new possibilities. So, how do you do this? How do you step into these new possibilities? I had like three thoughts I want us to think through with this. Is first of all, you have to recognize the call. Now, I love the whole video, the cell phone one. I love that because we all get that. We get notifications, and we like look at it, and we're like, oh, hey, I got a notification. You know, somebody I've been wanting to hear from, somebody, nope, I'm ignoring that one. We get it. We get very excited about this. We recognize the call. It's at us. And so the first thing in this is, you know, stepping into new possibilities is it requires recognizing the call. If you have not realized it yet, and I would be failing in my call to not tell you this, is that today, just as 2,000 years ago, Jesus is offering a call to everyone to follow him. Amen. Of recognizing there is a call. And he's like, hey, follow me. Follow me. Recognize there is a call to everyone. Whoever you are, there's a call. Recognize the call. You know, as followers of Jesus, this is what the church is supposed to do. One of the things we do is we go out there and we tell people, hey, have you heard that there is a call? That God is calling you, wants you to follow him to a better possible life, to something better, to hope. When we see people dealing with broken relationships, brokenness, and seemingly ending things, say, you know what? There is hope in life in Jesus. So recognize the call. The second thing is to answer the call. Now, this is like, I was thinking this is kind of an interesting thing in the cell phone world, because especially I was watching this commercial the other day, and this lady was, it was for some money app. And this lady's like, yeah, I don't make phone calls. I was like, what an interesting thing. I'm like, I don't make phone calls, which I know it's true. But she's like, yeah, I don't make phone calls. I have a phobia of making phone calls. I was like, that's an interesting thing. I remember having a phobia, but I had to call a girl once because the other thing didn't work out. And so this was in 10th grade. And I had to talk myself into calling her on a Wednesday night and had all the scenarios worked out for how the conversation would go, depending on who answered. But then her brother answered, and I didn't even expect that one. But, you know, we work through that stuff. You know, there's a connection that happens. We can't just recognize, okay, I got a call. We have to do something with it. We need to answer the call. Stepping into new possibilities requires more than just seeing the possibility. It requires more than just recognizing it. It requires answering it. Actually, stepping into a new path. So what is so interesting, I love the statements that Jesus makes as you read through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the stories of Jesus. And he makes this statement again and again to people. He says, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And people follow him. It was what they did back then. There was this whole thing of like a teacher would come along and, you know, he'd be like, hey, you know, Issa, follow me. And he'd go along and like, hey, you know, Levita, follow me. And you'd see, and people would get up and they'd follow the teacher because the teacher was kind of teaching them how to live life. And so that same statement of Jesus's follow me is how it works today. It's not that we have it all worked out and figured out and all this stuff. It is a path, a journey. The early church, they called themselves followers of the way or people of the way because they understood we are on a path and we are learning what it means to follow Jesus. We're following Jesus. As we go through life, we're following him. How would Jesus handle this? Let's follow him. Figure out how I should handle A, B, and C. What should I do? And so recognizing the call, answering the call, is stepping from the path I'm headed in. Okay, I'm in this awful, awful situation. And I'm pretty sure Jesus over here says, I got a better solution for you than hopelessness. So I'm going to follow him. I don't entirely know if I get it. I don't entirely know if I understand everything. I don't even entirely. Here's the fun one. You can be uncertain about whether or not you even believe it, but you can start following him and just figure it out. It's not that he's asked you to like get it all figured out and then start. He's like, hey, just follow. Figure it out on the way. Start to learn. See what it is. At one point, one of the authors in the Bible, he even says it this way. He says, hey, just follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Jesus. You just, let's go. It's a journey. Let's make the journey together. You know, recognize the call. Answer the call. And then the third one, and I'm going to just invite the worship team up. So we're going to close with a song here in a minute. But the third one is join the group call, or we'll call it join the group chat. You know, here is one of the important things. And I made this statement last Sunday. I love the church. And not just like, okay, I love Asbury Church, but it's not just Asbury Church. I love Asbury Church, I do. But I love the church. Because I got to tell you, life alone is difficult. And it was never meant to be done. Following Jesus was never meant to be done alone. That's why we have the church. That's why Jesus said, hey, he was talking to one of his apostles. He said, hey, Peter, your name is Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And that word is like this, I will build my group of people. I'm going to bring my people together. Because the church is supposed to be a place where we go along and we say, where I'm learning to follow Jesus, and Pete's learning to follow Jesus, and everybody's learning to follow. We're all learning to follow Jesus together, and there are times that I'm struggling and things are going awful, and I can talk to somebody and say, hey, can you pray with me? Because this is a difficult time. And as we journey together, strengthening each other on the way, join the group chat. Get in it together. It's way better. It's why I love the church. Because Levita said, we're awkward, weird people. And that's okay, because I have been told I'm a dork. And that's okay. Because Jesus loves me. And I know that my people are here. There are people who can understand that whole cool, dorky thing. And, join the group call. Make sure you're with people, because then when the path gets murky and muddy and you're like, I don't know what to do, you've got people you can talk to that says, hey, I'm with you. Let's pray. Let's talk. Let's do this together. We were meant to do this together. So what I want to do here, in a minute we're going to sing a song, Living Hope, but I just want us to take a moment. I just invite you, everybody, just take a moment of reflection here. Just close your eyes, bow your heads. I have three questions I want to just give you this morning. Think about. You might be here this morning and you are in what may seem like a hopeless situation. Broken relationship, broken something, broken finances, just... you're like, it's all broken. I don't know what to do. I want to tell you, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And if that's you today and you're like, hey, I am in this sort of situation right now. I am dealing with something that's just feels hopeless. I want to pray with you this morning. I just invite you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. All right, thank you. Yeah. Anyone else? No. Secondly, maybe you're here and you're like, hey, you know what? I'm just here because somebody invited me. I'm here because, it's Easter. That's what you do. You show up to church. I'm here because my mom made me. I'm here because my dad made me. I'm just here. And, maybe you're here and you're like, okay, I'm not 100% sure about this following Jesus thing, but I think I want to just start stepping onto that path, start checking that out. And if that's you here, if that's you this morning, I'd love to pray with you. I just invite you, can just slip a hand up. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Okay. And then third, maybe you're here this morning and you're like, you know what? Things are going all right. I'm doing this. But I know some people who are really struggling right now, and I'm not sure how to help them in this. But I'd like you to pray for them this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, yeah, I know some people who could really, like, you know, who are in some broken situations. Will you just join me praying for them? So if that's you this morning, I just invite you to raise your hand. All right, yeah, see that. Uh-huh. So Father, you've seen the hands for all this. You know where we are. I thank you so much for the call that Jesus has given us. We don't have to have all of this life figured out. But you're with us on the path. We just pray for those who are dealing with hopeless situations right now that just seem like there's just brokenness and difficulty and not sure what to do. And Father, I just pray that you would bring peace to a chaotic situation, that you would bring clarity, peace of mind and heart. Just pray that you would just rest upon the people in this situation, recognizing that the storm may not go away immediately, but you're with them in the storm, carrying them through the storm. Just pray that you'd remind them of your presence with them. For those here who are making decisions about whether or not they should even journey onto this path of following Jesus, or maybe they veered off of it a few times, and I just pray that this morning that they just be reminded of your love for them, and that following you is the better way. And the Lord, I know that, you know, we all know people who are dealing with difficult, broken situations. And you've seen the hands here, the hearts that are breaking for others. And Lord, we just pray that you'd give those whose loved ones and friends are dealing with difficult situations, you give them the wisdom to show your love to them in their difficult situations, to show your hope. Father, we pray that you would bring peace to broken lives, healing. We pray for our community, this Lansing and beyond, that they would come to know the hope that is found in you, that you would bring healing to marriages, to homes, Father, that the children who are dealing and the adults who are dealing with anxiety and depression would know the peace that is found in you, the hope that is found in you. Thank you.